Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
All right, you ready for the word? Okie dokie. Who's got their Bibles? We're going to read from Genesis 3. Genesis 3 verses 2. Here we go. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat it, from your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' If we skip down to verse 21, it says this: 'The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them.'" Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for how good you are, your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you're present here. I thank you that you're touching, you're moving, you are just releasing us, Father. We thank you. We just pray that our hearts are open to be changed by you this morning. We thank you for this body, this church. We thank you for this leadership. Bless us. Let your favor be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. So last time, I don't know if you mentioned, last time I spoke, I actually had something from this that I wanted to share, and it was just too much to unpack. So I just thought, you know what? It's got this thing all on its own. But I love reading from Genesis. Who likes Genesis? I love Genesis. The fall of man, the patriarchs, all the crazy cool stories that you think, how are these guys in the Bible? I mean, that's all I'm thinking. But the fall of man in particular is fascinating in so many ways. And I just started thinking that there's all these like rabbit holes you can go down in this. Was it Satan's fault? Did Satan sin before Adam and Eve? You know, like I love this. I started thinking about all this other stuff. Then I'm like, man, this isn't my topic. What am I doing? What I know is that God creates relationships, and the result of having real relationship means that there is free will. Free will is required to have relationship. God creates relationships and includes the angels in this, which opens the possibility of whether, you know, for any creature to do the wrong thing. Why did he even allow Satan in the garden? How'd this guy get in? Out of all the fruit in the garden, why was this tree most appealing? What I know is that God was clear. God gave Adam direct instruction. He should have known better and whacked that fruit away. Man, I'll never do that to my wife, by the way, if she offered me fruit and I just smacked it out of her hand. He should have done that. When I get to heaven, I'm hoping God will answer some of these questions for me. But today, there is something particular that I wanted to focus on. It's this. It's on the issue of clothing. It's this particular part of the scripture. It says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." This is the part where Adam and Eve experienced shame. They recognized they were naked. They were exposed. They were bare. They chose to do wrong, and they experienced something they'd never experienced before. You know, this is the thing too. Eating the fruit didn't show them what was right and wrong. They already knew what was right and wrong. God had already told him it was wrong. It was the hurt, humiliation, embarrassment, discomfort, disappointment that they felt in that very moment, which would set the whole human race on a journey it could never escape from without the help of God. Shame in the Oxford says this: "A painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior." Has anyone experienced shame? Poof, heaps. Foolish behavior? That's me all the time. I do dumb things all the time. Adam and Eve didn't even know what clothes were. It's not as if they'd seen them before. All they knew was that they needed to cover their bodies. Their identity, their intimacy and design was being assaulted by insecurity. Have you ever felt underdressed? Man, heaps of times. I remember once there was this 21st that I went to, right? And I looked at the invite. I'm like, yeah, it's good. It's in the calendar. We're all good. We're going. My wife is like, are you sure what you're wearing? She's wearing like half decent stuff. She looked great. But I'm in shorts, t-shirt and thongs. And as we rock up to this birthday, the host opens the door in a cocktail dress. Oh, man. That feeling. I ended up borrowing a shirt that day. It was good. But it was this moment of shame that Adam and Eve became their own tailors. And of all the clothing materials they had access to, guess what they choose? Fig leaves. I've got a picture of a fig leaf. Look at this thing. It's green. It's beautiful. Fig leaves are itchy. The sap of fig leaves can cause skin irritation. Many reports of people who make contact with fig leaves on the skin are redness, swelling, blisters. You can also experience an increased skin sensitivity to sunlight if the sap gets on your skin. I love figs. It's my favorite fruit. If you've got a fig tree, I'll come pick your figs. But I've never worn a fig tree before. And imagine being Adam and Eve and feeling the physical discomfort on top of the rest of the spiritual and emotional discomfort they were feeling in that moment. They had a physical response to a spiritual problem. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were created and clothed in righteousness. Think about this for a second. Did they have clothes? Well, no, they didn't have physical clothes, but they were actually clothed in the goodness of God, clothed in righteousness. The beginning was clean. There was no shame. Clothed with His goodness. Their first response of feeling shame was to rectify the feeling by trying to pull a MacGyver. Who remembers MacGyver? Oh, what a champion. But, you know, like, they sit there, oh, let's make some clothes out of that thing. We won't tell you, God, what we've done. We'll hide and we'll make our own coverings. Seemed like a good idea at the time for them. I don't know why, but it did. Now, the rest of the story, this is my favorite part. God comes along and says, those coverings will not do. Put something I've made on instead. And God provides skins for them to wear. Skins from an animal. Think about this, the fall of man, skins from an animal. In order to get those skins, the animal needed to die, the first death. Skins from the first sacrifice. There is a great cost to being clothed. This moment in history sent something in motion for all humanity, and there is a deep desire to feel the way we're supposed to feel. And by doing this, we've tried to make our own clothes with what we believe hides our shame, hides our failure. We all want to live shameless lives and without disappointment. I know I do. Funny though, at times we continue to attempt to cover ourselves. And today I want to talk about the clothes that we try to cover ourselves with and provide some alternative clothing God provides us to wear each and every day. Is that cool? Good. Alrighty, who loves fashion? Yeah, some people love fashion. Yeah, it's cool. Okay, cool. Can you think of an era or a decade where there was a standout type of clothing that was influential for you? I want you to just tell the person next to you, man, this is my favorite type of clothing from this era. Okay. Have a word to the person next to you, see? Is it flares, skinny jeans, grunge? You like being adorned with Gucci? For me, it was the Kappa tracksuit. Who remembers Kappa? Still going around. I was the biggest swag boy of them all. Loved it. It was my identity. But yeah, funny that. I haven't touched it since. Clothing and fashion has always been such a big part of society. The global apparel market size in 2025 is approximately $1.84 trillion. 1.63% of the world's GDP. It's a huge part of society. So we would all probably agree that fashion just gets a bit weirder and weirder though as time goes on. Would you say it's getting a bit crazy? I've got some picks for you. Here's weird one. I call it the hourglass straitjacket. Check it out. I got weird too. It's called the cardboard cutout, I reckon. Man, if I rocked up in this at the party, I wouldn't have been underdressed. Weird three, cool in the pool. Dive into a friendly combo. Let's go deep. Weird four, Eminem's special Christmas edition. That's cool. I like the color of that one. I have no idea what the purpose of these clothes are, right? All I know is that sometimes I see stuff like this and I want to hurt someone. But I can't fit it in my head how people think this is cool. But anyways, here's what it is. What I know is that this clothing is not functional, all right? You can't work in these clothes. You can't even see through some of them. You can't talk with others, especially if you're Italian and you're like using your hands. Where are the hands? We look at that type of clothing and scoff and laugh. But how do you think God looked at Adam and Eve when they started ripping the leaves off the fig tree? Figs weren't designed for that purpose. God saw them in their sin. God saw them when they were hiding. He knew what had happened and he watched and probably thought, oh boy, that clothing won't do. And to bring the point another step closer to us, how do you think God feels when we try to clothe ourselves with what we think looks and feels good? I'm talking about the spiritual context now. What is in your wardrobe? How have you tried to cover your shame, and what skeletons are you hiding in that closet of yours? I know for all of us, we've all tried to clothe ourselves with things like self-worth, pride. You know, we try and clothe ourselves with achievements. Oh, look what I've got under my belt. We brag about our lives. There are some people who like to clothe themselves with an ideology and different types of ideologies. There's the moral status, the moral high ground when you do. People always love to attach themselves to a cause. Causes everywhere. People try and dress themselves with intellect. They try and sound intelligent. They might get a degree or two or maybe six. Some people try and clothe themselves with religion. We show off our giftings like they're our own and we forget that they are God-given. Isaiah 64:6 says this, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." You know, we do these things all to just make us feel that little bit better, you know, just to cover up. And you know, these things don't do anything for us long term. In some cases, when life hasn't been too kind to us and we've had a hard upbringing or whatever life has thrown at us, we can clothe ourselves with things like indifference and a numbness. You know, numbness to the things around us. Whatever, who cares? If I don't feel it, it can't hurt me. Sometimes we like to clothe ourselves with ignorance or just being naive, just to get past whatever we're feeling in that moment. This is a big one. Sometimes we clothe ourselves with things like victimhood. Yeah? It's a huge one in our world today. People today compete to see who has the greatest perceived disadvantage as if it's something to brag about. Oh, I'm so-and-so and I had an hard upbringing. I was poor, I was this and blah, 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 and now I'm this. Being a victim in the Christian world, being a victim, even when the world has been cruel, will not help you one bit. It doesn't get you out of whatever you're in. Jesus does. Amen? All right, Genesis 3, verse 12. The man says, "The woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" As soon as you play the victim card, right? So she just tried to offload that. As soon as you play the victim card, you've just offloaded any responsibility that is your own. And this is the way Adam and Eve handled their shame. Adam and Eve made clothes and tried to cover their mistake. Cover. How many of us have tried to cover our mistakes? I got another story for you. I love the stories. So there was this one time we were in youth, right? And we had a water fight. Big thing in the car park, set up all these water balloons in buckets. And, you know, there's going to be a big water fight. Yeah, yeah, cool. Anyways, I grabbed three balloons. It's all I could carry because any more than that, they'll pop in your hands. Three balloons running through the car park. Here we go, started at one end. First one, whoa, bam, slammed a guy. Next one, second, two out of two. I'm going for three out of three and I see my cousin Chris right ahead of me. Where is he? I don't know where he's. Oh, I love you, buddy. He's the best. And I was going through that car park like a sacred gazelle, just moving through. Get to Chris. I see him 15 meters ahead. Slam one through, hits him straight in the face, in the eye, and he goes straight down. I panicked. I didn't know what I was feeling in that moment. I felt terrible. That's my brother. What have I just done? I just paused. I didn't know what to do. Freaking out. People were gathering around him. He's in extreme pain. Oh, my goodness. What have I done? So I walk over after a little while. I'm like, oh, hey, Chris, what happened? As if, anyways. Oh, man. The poor guy. While I said that, people are trying to help him, thinking, man, how am I going to tell him it was me? The guy didn't see it coming at all. 5 seconds later, I have Cardillo come up, run up. Luke, that was amazing. You hit him straight in the head. Ah, that was awesome. Oh, yeah. There you go. I felt great. Now it's out. The thing is, you can only hide your failure so long before it becomes public. We think we're intelligent and sneaky and able to hide behind this false sense of security, but it's all rubbish. I want to tell you, don't bother with the fig leaves. God has a better wardrobe for you. His option is not just to have a cover-up option either. The non-decay clothing option with a warranty for eternity. Do you believe that? Come on. As you know, being saved is important to God because He gets to spend eternity with you. But it's also good to know that God has supplied us with clothing options for everyday living today. You and I have the responsibility to dress in God's provision. It's on you. After God made the garments, when God approached Adam and Eve, it says He made skins for them. And I want to start with this. So what clothing has God made available to us today? Before I go into all of this, man, there is so much in the Bible about clothing and I didn't include it all. There is so much I left out. So I've just handpicked a couple, but I want to start with Matthew 6:28. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Skip to verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith. When Jesus talks about physical worries of the world, material things, we can find a broader meaning to suggest that our reliance and dependence should always start with God. This doesn't change whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. There are plenty of garments for us to put on each and every day. Unfortunately, I've only chosen a couple today, but there's heaps. I'm going to start with this one. Here's the first one. Put on. Everyone say, put on your new identity. Ephesians 4:22. Put off your old self and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If you have accepted Christ and the free gift of salvation, then you now have two wardrobes. The old wardrobe, the old self, the new wardrobe, new creation. They're in the same room and you can choose which one you're going to open up in the morning. The scripture says, put off your old self, to renounce your old life for the new one. Take it off. Throw it in the cupboard. Lock the door. Don't go back. Colossians 3:1-17 talks a lot about putting on the new self. Almost a full chapter on it. It's awesome. It's paraphrased. It's paraphrased here. I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's gold. Think and set your sights on the realities of heaven. You've died to this old life and your real life is in Christ. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Rid yourself of anger, rage, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. Strip off the old nature. Take it off. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So put on your new nature and be renewed. Renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So unless you and I make the decision to put on the new self, your old self will try to make its way back, right? And as I mentioned before, you have two wardrobes. The scripture said that earthly things lurk within us. Don't allow that old wardrobe to be opened up again because we all have skeletons in that closet, amen? Here's the second one. Put on godly character. Colossians 3:12-14 says this, Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, forgive, and over all these virtues, put on love. These clothes should be the absolute default that you put on. The underwear, the singlet under the shirt. Compassion, kindness, forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. 1 Peter 5:5 on humility says this, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And the context of this scripture is to tie it around your waist in a knot. Do not let go. Humility, clothe yourself in it. Gentleness and patience. Ephesians 4:2 says this, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And then there's love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Clothe yourself. Say it with me. Clothe yourself. The responsibility is on you. You have two wardrobes to choose from. God makes the clothes. He makes them available to us. We just need to put them on. We don't have any excuses for wearing the wrong outfit. How many of us walk into our wardrobes and say, oh, I got nothing to wear today. What am I going to wear? I do it all the time. And I've got full wardrobe. I don't even get through my clothes after a month. It's because Tash washes them so quick. But this is not one of those cases in the spiritual context. God has given you everything you need to clothe yourself with, everything. In order to obtain godly character, he's made the opportunity for you to be clothed in it. It is in season, every season, and it doesn't go out of fashion. Put on is the third one, power. Everyone say power. Luke 24:49 says, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is the Holy Spirit covering. This is God's enablement, not self-effort, okay? Power is something that God puts on you, not something you put on yourself. In this scriptural context, the word clothed means fully dressed, covered, and immersed. Immersed, that's the word I like. We believe that when Jesus Christ rose victorious from the dead and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit was then poured out on believers. And we also believe that baptism in the Holy Spirit, normally evidenced by speaking in tongues, is available to all believers to empower them to be Jesus's witnesses. If you don't speak in tongues and you want to experience this, then wait on God, pray, and ask him. You know, Friday night I just heard a report that some of the youth got filled with the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. God wants to make it available to you. God wants to move. If this power from on high is something you have access to already, then clothe yourself in it. What are you waiting for? The world is yearning to see God's power, and many of us just forget to wear it each and every day. Acts 2:4 says this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So let's put on the power of God as we go. Amen. Fourth one, put on God's presence. Romans 13:14 says this, instead of darkness, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Clothe yourself with the presence of God. This all comes back to just spending time with God. It's not that complicated. And I love this. I said note here that the scripture says, instead of clothing yourself in darkness, instead, choose to clothe yourself in the presence of God. How do you clothe yourself in the presence of God? Do we really have that option? Yes, absolutely. Spend time with God. Wake up early, spend time in prayer, spend time reading the word, put the alarm on, get up early. Just carve that time out. Sometimes I throw on prayer music and read. Other times I might throw some worship music on and just worship him. Other times you get on your knees and just want him and wait on him. If you're like me, which many of you are very imperfect like me, you're going to revert back to your old ways, and sometimes you're going to go back to that old wardrobe. How does this happen? I know for me, if I don't wake up early in the morning to do my spiritual, physical routine, my day is put out like a domino effect. Have a good sleep. Wake up on time. Spend time with the Lord first. Be spiritually disciplined and physically disciplined. You guys think you can do that? Come on, of course you can do that. If I'm out of spiritual and physical routine, the battle to stay in the new self is a very, very hard one. Be disciplined. Be intentional. Go home. Carve the time aside to spend time with God. The presence of God, note this though, the presence of God is not something that you can create, okay? However, it is something that you can cultivate. What's the difference? You don't create God's presence. It's already there. You do need to nurture and spend time in His presence with Him to be clothed in it. Do you understand that? Cool. In conclusion, let's head to the end. The last one I have is be dressed in salvation. Put on Christ. Band, you can come if you want. Isaiah 61:10 says this, He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness. For Adam and Eve, pre-fall, they were draped in the righteousness of God. That whole rotten journey that kicked humanity off into trying to be righteous again would never be fulfilled by any small gods, ideology, good works, or religion. None of these things will clothe anyone in the righteousness of God. None. Jesus has made it possible again for us to be clothed in righteousness. And it is by His blood, it is by His body that we can be seen pure and holy again. This clothing is not earned, it's given. And just because it is a free gift, it doesn't mean it hasn't cost anything. Nothing is free. Nothing. It was expensive for God to clothe you and I. Very expensive. It wasn't some cheap sacrifice. It wasn't at our cost. It was all on Him. And He took the bill for us. Do you believe that? The cost to clothing Adam and Eve was an animal sacrifice, the first death. Now think about this. That was God's creation. He had just created these things. And He said He loved them. And then He had to turn around and say, okay, one of them has to die. I don't know how many had to die, but probably more than one because there's two skins, right? He loved His creation. The cost of clothing you and I for eternity was also a sacrifice. It was the death of God Himself, the Lamb of God, God's own Son. John 1:29 says this, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This ultimate sacrifice was made for you and I to be covered from now to the end. It's done, church. Spiritual clothing has nothing to do with the outside of our lives, but everything to do with what's going on the inside of us. Our identity is no longer dependent on our old clothes. I don't parade myself in the Capitraxu anymore. Sometimes you've got to give up the old stuff, yeah? Today is communion, and I think it's important we remember that it wasn't fig leaves that truly covered us. It's the broken body and poured out blood of Christ. The final covering. If you don't know Christ as your personal tailor or savior, today I encourage you to check out this new wardrobe available to you. All you have to do is ask Him. If you are walking with Christ daily, I encourage you to put on everything God has gifted you with each and every day. It's not always easy, but it is necessary. Revelation 3:5 says this, He who overcomes will be dressed in white. So let's walk in the coverings made available to us. Amen. Thank you, church.
Let's all stand together. Such a great word. Put on. We used to sing the chorus, put on the garment of praise for the Spirit. How many oldies remember that song? There's only three of us. It's you and me, Lena. We're the only ones left. Put on the garment of praise. Put on. It's beautiful. There's an intentionality about, you know, putting on what God has called us to put on by His grace and for His glory. And, you know, Jesus paid the price for our salvation. He paid the price for our sin so that we could stand righteous before His presence. We're going to break bread together in just a moment. And